We'll start our show with a simple story. Father leaves boy. Boy becomes man. Man finds father. What happens then?
Over 50 years ago, when my father was 4 and my uncle was 2, his father, my grandfather, disappeared. Took off. Vanished into thin air. In his stead, my father and uncle were raised by 3 women. Their mother, their aunt, and their grandmother. The mystery disappearance of Arthur Alexander Hansen seemed a thing of the past. Until 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I received a phone call from my father. His father, Art Hansen, my grandfather, had been found, and he had died 6 months earlier. This radio show gave me the opportunity to ask him about those weeks and what he learned about the father he had never had. My dad mentions a few names throughout the interview. Mark is his brother, Carrie is their half-sister, and Lisa is Carrie's half-sister. She's technically no blood relation to my father, but she was raised by his father. And his father was named Arthur Alexander Hansen. He went by Art for short. Here's my father.
I know I had three very clear memories of my father interacting with him. They would all have to be around the time I was old enough to remember, probably 4, because he took off before I turned 5, I think. And one was, I remember my dad and I were driving back from maybe the beach, I don't know, and my dad pulled over and we saw a dog, and he pulled over and picked up the dog and put it in the car and brought it home. Why that sticks in my mind, I don't know, but I remember sitting in the car and remember, obviously as a kid, excited that I had a dog, not knowing that maybe that wasn't a good thing to do. It could have been somebody's dog, and probably was, that was loose. Second one was visiting him in his apartment after he had moved out. And it was an apartment that had a pool in the center, probably a 2-story apartment with, you know, circling the pool. And my brother and I were playing in the pool with these orange life jackets on. You know, my brother's 2 and I'm 4. And he was kind of laying out by the pool talking to some other people. And then the third one was on Oriola Boulevard. We were playing, he must have been there visiting or whatever, playing on the grass. It was a really steep, short lawn, and some kid pushed me down. I rolled down the hill, and I don't know if I was upset or whatever. And I remember I asked him to do something, or he pushed me to do something, and he didn't do anything. Why does that stick in my head? I don't know. But those are the only live memory encounters I had of my father. All the rest would be pictures or stories. You know, photos always show a happy family. You don't put something in a photo scrapbook that doesn't reinforce the image you want to be reinforced. So I had pictures of him through scrapbooks, but none of it from personal recollection. And as the years go on, you're never quite sure where that image of your father came from. Do I remember him doing that? Is it because somebody told me he did that? Or is it because I saw a picture of him doing that? You never really know after years, you know, just where did that image of him come from? That's another thing I remember when I was young, that the only negative thing I ever heard about my father was my grandmother said, I must have kind of pushed her on her. I must have said, well, there must have been some things he wasn't good at or didn't do well or whatever. And that, I think the upshot of all that was, well, your dad's character wasn't always the best. That's a pretty soft negative, isn't it? For someone who left your daughter stranded. At that time, I didn't even know what the word character meant, so I must have been pretty young. Was it a cartoon character? I mean, I wonder what she was talking about. Character. And it wasn't until many, many years later where I understood what character meant. It's your value system. It's what you stand for, your integrity. So then I understood that was a pretty withering negative, but I didn't know what it meant. I mean, there aren't too many more condemning statements than that. You know, you don't say someone who's not a good tennis player, he doesn't swim very well, but when you say his character was not always the best, that gets right to the point, doesn't it?
The three women who raised my father and his brother avoided saying anything that might tarnish any memories the boys had of their father.
They didn't want to paint a negative image, and I admired that incredibly. They allowed me to have a good feeling about my father, even though he brought a lot of pain and awkwardness and difficulty into their lives. And whenever it did come up, they always talked in positive tones. Everything was framed positively. Things like he was tall, he was strong, he was handsome, he was athletic, he had a great voice and used to sing in operas and theater, local theater, those types of things. Of course, those weren't the real issues that were important. And as a young person, you know, I didn't realize what were the right questions to answer, like character and why isn't he around and why doesn't he call and why doesn't he pay anything. And, you know, you don't ask those kind of questions, but you do wonder why your dad's not around. But mostly they didn't bring it up if we didn't raise a question. And those questions just didn't get raised very much, you know. I had a happy childhood. They must have gotten together and said, you know, we've got to make sure these boys feel good about their father even though he's not around here. That's a pretty selfless thing for them to say. They've had a lot of pain. That's pretty, I mean, talk about character of people. Hardest time I can remember is when you're in elementary school, every year with a new teacher, you have to fill out some administrative card that gets filed, and you have to write parents' address and occupation and phone number and just basic family stuff. And most people would go, you know, their dad and then for their mom's name, and then they would put same underneath it. And for my dad, I'd write his name, and then I would write unknown. That always bothered me. I didn't even know where he was. It was like a missing MIA. It was, you know, just somebody on the lam, somebody who's lost and gone. It was just a strange and awkward thing for me to have to do that. But then when you got out of school, it was no big deal at that point. I didn't think about it that much, particularly when I went off to college. It was like people didn't know your parents, so they didn't ask. And then it just got farther and farther away that you didn't really think about it at all. But as I got older, I got into thinking, you know, a man doesn't leave his family. He doesn't leave two young boys and not pay attention to them. You know, what causes him to do that, especially when you have children? I couldn't possibly imagine being away from my kids. And here's a guy who apparently, with a lot of ease, just said, I'm out of here. And not just casually out of here, just gone. I mean, when he left, it was as if he vanished into a black hole. No letters, phone calls, no visits, nothing. He was gone. But believe me when I say I don't lose sleep over it. It's not something that I carry as a burden. It's not something that's changed me, and I can't function because of it. It's just the way it is.
Here, my father describes the specifics of when he first learned that Uncle Mark had finally tracked down their father.
When Mark found the information, I didn't even know he was really looking for it. And it was like, I mean, we've got a dad for 50 years. That's half a century. He must have called me. Yeah, I think I tracked down a death certificate. I got a match on, it looks like it might be. But the dates are off, the name's the same, the date's the same, but the year of birth is not right. And so he kind of said, really? But, you know, my response was like, really? What else do you know? I said, well, if it is the same person, he died 6 months ago. And then the next thing you find out, the next time you talk to him, he's had all these conversations with his widow and other people and sister-in-law, I mean, sisters and things like that. So he really had been after the information about my father, our father, a lot more aggressively than I realized. I do remember standing in Kay's kitchen when Mark had walked in, we were chatting, and then he just casually handed me a stapled thing of papers that had all kinds of stuff he'd printed off the internet. Apparently when he died, this is very common now, when people die, set up an internet site so that people can send in their condolences and post it almost like a blog. There was a whole bunch of people that wrote in about my father, how he used to come and help them, and he was like a grandfather to me, and I can't imagine anyone better, and blah, 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 blah. And I just found that incredibly ironic that I'm watching this, reading this about a dad who was not at all that to me in any way, that people are calling him just the grandfather I always wanted type of thing. I just couldn't believe that. So I'm at Mark's house, and he hands me this stuff printed off the internet. And there's a picture that came off of his printer, and it shows two women smiling that don't look at all alike. One is short, round face, dark hair, and one is tall, more of a slender face, blonde hair, and that's Carrie. And it's a picture of Carrie, and he says, well, who's this? I said, well, that's your sister, or our sister. I said, what? That, of all the stuff that I didn't really have an emotional reaction at all to my dad's dying. It was just, really? How'd you find that? That was basically about my reaction. But when he told me I had a sister, half-sister, it's just, you're kidding. I mean, that really preoccupied me for a number of months. Just, my God, what's she like?
From Carrie, and from her half-sister Lisa, my dad was able to fill in some of the story about what had happened to his father after he disappeared from their lives. After he moved out, Art Hansen married three more times.
So he went in and moved in with another woman and never told her that he had had children, never told her that he was married, never told them anything. So that when Mark called the widow of my father in Florida, they had a long conversation, shocked her, but he found out from her that Arthur Hansen had a daughter in California. So he talked to Lisa, the sister, and so she was in shock that Art Hansen, who really raised her, she's born in 56 to a woman who was married and got divorced. That would be Pat. And then she's a cocktail waitress, single mother, trying to raise a daughter that's 4 years old, three or four. And then Art Hansen wanders in. They work together. They end up moving in together. They end up doing this in Manhattan Beach, of all places. And this was like 1960. And then together they have a child that turns out to be Carrie. And then my dad spends 1960 to 1970, roughly 10 years, living with this woman and raising two daughters. So the older daughter, Lisa, she was 3 or 4 when my dad moved into the picture. That's probably the only father she remembers having. But then my dad moves out and then ends up getting married to another woman in 75. That only lasts a year. But that brought him to North Hollywood, where Mark, ironically, was in school at the time. I was away at college, but he was in high school, North Hollywood High School. And then he ended up getting married maybe another 5 years later to the woman that he spent the last 25 years of his life with. So it seems like he was always very close to where we were, but we never knew it, we never ran into him, we never tracked him down, none of that stuff. But I find that ironic. Might even be an element of him wondering how his boys were doing. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah, I had basketball games that he attended in the stands and I never knew it. Or graduations or ceremonies. You just don't know. He didn't share that with any spouse, with any child, with no one. It's just something he carried himself. I mean, when I learned more about my father talking to Carrie and her sister than I ever knew about him. Turns out he was a very loud person. When he walked into a room, you have someone my size, but with a very loud voice and demonstrative personality, and he just kind of dominated a room. And I don't know, I personally don't like being around people like that. And I think everything has to go through him or operate through him. So he liked to be a bartender and bouncer, where he could be at the bar and talk to anybody. If anybody got in trouble, he would grab them and throw him out in the back and, you know, punch him or break up fights. You know, he was always the big, strong guy in the room. There was even a story of he punched out some owner of a bar that they were leasing from, a restaurant in Manhattan Beach, because he did something with the lease. And basically the guy, they lost the whole bar because his temper, he just got in a fight and ended the whole business transaction, probably lost a whole lot of money, and not to mention their jobs.
The more he learned about his father, the more thankful he became that he hadn't, in fact, been raised by him. My father wonders who he might have become if his father had been in the picture.
And I look at Carrie, and she just talked horribly about living with him. I mean, just, she was terrified. She was intimidated. She was in fear of him all the time. And it just wasn't a pleasant way for her to grow up. And she's had a very hard life. It's not a life you want to just run up and embrace and plug into yours. You want to keep a little distance, because she brings a lot of baggage. So I look at Carrie and I think, she's a product of my or our father. I mean, she's living a life that my dad lived in some ways. And in some ways, she got the nurture part and I got the nature part. When I say I got, you know, Mark too, but, and she got the short end of the deal. I mean, she was raised by a man who didn't have the values and character of the women who raised Mark and I. And I am grateful now that I found out that I wasn't raised by my father, that he wasn't in my life at all. But a word I haven't used is insecure. I think a lot of the loud, boisterous, chest-pounding, front-and-center behavior may come from an insecurity on his part, that he didn't have any pedigree, that he didn't have money, that he didn't have position. What he had in spades was women found him very attractive. It was easy for him to attract women. He was tall, he was athletic, he probably was fun and outgoing. He, you know, could put a bathing suit on, he could pick up a golf club, he could sing. I mean, just he just was craving respect in some ways. He got a job at the end of his life that he actually kept for a long time. It turns out he worked at Universal Studios in North Hollywood. And I think he worked in the prop department or some area where he kept and organized things. And there were pictures that his wife sent Mark where he was with celebrities and different people. And so he probably loved hanging around the studios with all the actors and actresses and things like that. And I just think he craved some sort of public respect or attention. And never really got it on his own. And maybe being around celebrities is something that gave him something that he could point to and say, look what I've done and look who I'm with and look what company I keep. I never put my dad on a pedestal. I wasn't going around talking about, oh, my dad, yeah, he was a world champion boxer, or he won the Medal of Honor, or, oh, yeah, he's coming back as soon as he makes his first million. You know, I didn't deal in fantasies. I didn't deal in dreams. I didn't deal in make-believe about my father. I never put him on a pedestal. I guess when I found out about my father, it's like these archaeologists that go to Troy or Rome and they see one of these marble columns that has fallen over and the arm's broken off and the nose is cracked and things like that over time. And that's kind of the father I found. He was already off the pedestal. In all fairness to him, I've never heard his side of the argument. Maybe there was something between him and my mom did that drove him away. It's true or not, I mean, I know my mom. But I don't want to judge him without knowing his side of the program, which I won't ever know. So I just consider his life like some character I'm reading about in a book. Yeah, just take it as it is.
Though my father rarely articulated his questions, if indeed he ever consciously thought them, the unsolved mystery of his father's departure was often in the back of his mind.
I always felt like there was going to be a knock at the door and my father was going to show up and enter my life somehow, because I never knew where he went. Maybe he'd come back as an old man, kind of like Robert Frost, the hired man, who shows up to die at the place where he used to be a hired man. And I always felt like he might just show up and say, here I am, you know, I need money or I need a place to stay. And I would be reintroduced to him in those terms. But he showed up as a death certificate. So he never did choose to come back into our lives. I guess that's one of the key observations, is he was able to keep this charade going his whole life and never kind of came back and said, I'm sorry, or came back and said, you know, I made a mistake, or came back and said, I just wanted to get to know you before I die. He never did. So maybe it wasn't important to him. Maybe he didn't about it. You just don't know.